Hello, and welcome to our Wednesday evening service. In just a little bit, our pastor will be bringing the message. Before we do that, we want to open up in prayer, then we'll have a couple of songs. And before we open up in prayer, we talked about Sunday, about some of the problems our missionaries were having. And we wanted to highlight the Snyder family this evening before we have prayer. And we'll read a little synopsis of what they sent us, and then you'll know how to pray for them. Now, the Snyder family is in Papua New Guinea in the bush country. Last December, they said, we found out that our visa was due this year. We quickly filled out the paperwork and submitted it. We received our needed paperwork for all of us but Leland and Thomas. Even though all the family is under my visa, the boys had different dates on theirs, which ran out sooner. We were told by immigration to get the boys out of the country so they can submit the paperwork again. There just happened to be a helicopter in our area, and we asked the company if we could ride to Port Moresby, the capital city of Papua New Guinea. They agreed to fly Sam and the boys all the way to Australia. We decided for Mary and Beth and Bethany to stay in the bush. We had been told to expect about 14 days. As Sam was in Australia awaiting the visa to clear for the boys, the news started to get worse about COVID-19. Then there was talk that the borders of Papua New Guinea and Australia would most likely close. In order for our family to be in the same country, we decided for Mary Beth and Bethany to join us. It was impossible for Thomas and Leland to get back into the country at this point. Mary Beth and Bethany got to take a ride in the same helicopter that just happened to be in our area again. 3 days after that, all the flights to Australia were canceled due to COVID-19. There were no other flights out of the village in those days between. At the moment, all flights are still canceled to Papua New Guinea. We cannot get back in there at this time. The only place we could possibly come would be back to the USA. At this time, we have decided to wait here in Australia until things start opening back up. So be in prayer for the Snyder family and our other missionaries that we support, not only the ones that we support, but those all around the world and here in the U.S. So we'll go ahead and open up in prayer, and then we'll have a couple of songs. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us to come again, Lord, to worship you. Lord, I pray for all those that are listening to the broadcast, Lord, whether it be over the air or, Lord, over the phone. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage each and every one through the preaching of the word, through the singings of the songs of Zion. Lord, I pray for our pastor as he comes to preach. And Lord, we do pray for our missionaries, Lord, at this special time, Lord, that you have allowed us to be in. Lord, we know that you knew all about it before it happened, and we know you'll see us through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh,
Well, I appreciate the good singing, and I tell you what, a timely message tonight, that Jesus is still the answer, and I'm thankful that God has all things in His control. Appreciate the good missionary update that Brother Jimmy gave us, and please do remember all of our missionaries during this time. And I was talking to my wife just this week, and I said, you know, for most of us, this COVID-19 pandemic has been an inconvenience. It's not been life-changing. It's been an inconvenience. We aren't able to do some of the things that we normally do. But for many missionaries, it is life-changing. And so I ask you to continue to pray for them and that God would use them, get them back on the field quickly, and meet their need. And again, we look at it, and I realize that we've seen several people lose their life to this this virus, but I'm also thankful that God's got everything under control. And tonight we want to look at that in Romans 8 and verse number 28. Romans 8, 28. And familiar passage. We've heard it preached many times. I've preached it many times. And I wanted to really be a help to you because in any season of life, whether it be good or bad, a lot of times we'll hear people preach on this topic, all things work together for good, and we simply focus on bad events that take place in our life, and that's part of life. But let's not forget all the good, and let's not forget how good God's been to us. In Romans 8, 28, the Bible said, and we know, didn't say we think or hope so, It's a confidence that we have. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I continue with that, verse 28, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So let's pray together. Father, as we come to you in Jesus' name, we thank you that no matter what circumstance takes place in our life, we know that you are working good for us. And so tonight I pray for those that are listening in, watching by way of Facebook, that, Lord, it'd be a help to them, encourage them in their trials of life. And God, not only that, but also in the triumphs of life, that we would see that you are good all the time. So help us this evening as we preach the Word of God. Be with those churches that are facing persecution during this time, those pastors, Lord, that are standing for you in their chosen fields. Be with our missionaries, God, as they stand for you as well and get the glory. And may the church be brought back to you, Father. I pray, God, that we would open our eyes and our heart to what you'd have us see, that we could once again honor you in all things that we do. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach on this thought this evening, excuse me, a promise for all seasons. And I'm not talking about the seasons such as spring, fall, winter, and summer, but seasons of life. And we have to realize as we look at Romans 8:28 that this text meets us where we live. It's not some idealistic idea. It's not some ideal life. But the fact is that any season of life that we're going through, that the Lord works that for our good. And so a promise that rises, the hopes of troubled people. And as we go through our troubles, and many of you are going through it now, I want to encourage you by saying this, that God is working good out of this somehow. And so a guarantee that God has a plan for each of us is what this promise is all about. It's not an easy promise to remember when times are tough and we may be overwhelmed by difficulties. We may think that God has forgotten us, and we may think that our lives are out of control, and oftentimes they appear that way. But we're to walk by faith, not by sight. And so if we're going to claim the promises of God, we have to claim those that are we look at as good and beneficial, and then we have to claim those that we may not see the good in, but we have to have faith that God is working good. And that's what Romans 8:28 is all about, that God gives us some promises in this verse, not just one promise, but several promises that should encourage us in all seasons of life. It's easy to praise God in the spring and summers of our life when things seem to be growing and things seem to be good. But sometimes in the fall and winter times of our life, we miss what God's trying to do. We're so absorbed in our own self and really in how we feel and what we think that we miss that God may be using that season of life to teach us a valuable lesson so that we'll be able to become more like Christ. And so let me share three promises with you I see in this verse. First of all, I see a promise that brings assurance. The Bible said in verse 28, we know, and we know. And so that word know means assurance, that it's not a think so, that in the times that God brings us the positive promises in our life and we see the good and we see the blessings, we have to realize that that same God that brings blessings also allows some tragedies in our life for our good and for our learning. And so if we're, look at verse 28, we know that all things work together. And so here, I want you to see in this promise that brings assurance that God is powerful. Amen. We realize that. And we hear all the time, we'll have testimony service and people say, I just want to tell you how God's blessed us. He met this financial need. He met this physical need. He brought assurance in this area. But very seldom do we hear people talk about the trials of life and the tragedies of life and how God's promise has gotten them through that. So that God is powerful. He knows what's for our good. Sometimes we think we know what's for our good, don't we? We think that we know what's best for us. That we'll say, well, my heart is telling me this, or my mind is telling me this, my feelings are telling me this, but we have to realize that we can be deceived. That oftentimes, what we think that is best for us is best for our flesh. In other words, our flesh controls the way we act and the way we think. And so we don't look things at from an eternal perspective or from a spiritual perspective. So he would not make us a promise he couldn't keep. Now, if you believe your Bible, and I'm assuming today that we do, just as we look at this scripture, we must take it at face value. We must realize that God is only as good as his word. And if he says, and we know, that means that we can know. We can be assured of that. God alone has the power to control circumstances. You do not, friend. You can do all that you want to try to protect yourself and isolate yourself from situations. But let's be honest. You can do all the right things and you can still have cancer. You can avoid wear a mask and you can avoid every public place and still contract COVID-19. I'm saying that we are to do all we can, but sometimes all we can is not good enough to protect us from trials of life. And so God alone has the power to control circumstances. God has the power and will do what's best for us. Listen, whether you and I realize it or not, God is doing what is best for us. And it may hurt. It may not always be pleasant. It may be not always be what you and I would choose. But God will always do what's best for you. So tonight, as we think about it, we have to be assured that God is working for our good. Not only that God is powerful, but we have to be assured of the promise that God has a plan. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. God has a plan in this COVID-19 pandemic. Maybe it is to draw the church back to him. Maybe it is to get our attention off of everything, all the distractions of life. And by the way, even though we're in a time of stay-at-home orders, there's still the distractions of the computer and activities. And you know, we need to be very careful. Though we think that we're on lockdown, everything is coming into our home. And if we're not careful, we still will not spend time in the Word of God in prayer. And we're no better spiritually than we were before. Now, I know it may cause us to want to be in church when the doors are open. But friend, I'm telling you, the greatest thing we can take away from this pandemic is a closer walk with our God. Amen? It's not about being in church, not being in church. And by the way, I'm ready to get back to church. I'm ready to see our church family. But whether or not it's this week or next week or 4 weeks from now, I can still have a closer walk with God if I'll claim his promise and realize somehow this is in the plan of God. We're here for a reason. What's our life about? God has a plan, and what direction I must take is part of God's plan. So God has a plan, and we can be assured that God has the preeminence. None of this has taken God by surprise. None of this, what's going on, was not somehow in God's plan. God is supreme. Friend, I want to say this. I'm thankful for our president, but our president is not supreme. I'm thankful for our government workers, but they're not supreme. God is supreme. His way is supreme. His plan for my life is supreme. And so maybe in this time, what I need to do and what you need to do is take all of our preconceived notions, throw them in the garbage, all of our dreams, all of our ideas of what is best for us, and throw them in the garbage and listen to the voice of God, spend time in the Word of God, and realize that in this season of life, the promise that God makes is sure, and we can have assurance that God is working for our good. So we have a promise that brings assurance. Number two, we have a promise about all the experiences of life. Verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. All right, so I have to look at this. I used to really enjoy the cold weather, but now as I get older, I'm understanding when people say as they get older, man, I don't like to be cold. Well, Jimmy, I don't like to be cold. I enjoy the spring. I like to see things grow, don't you? I like to see in the fall, the leaves fall. It's a beautiful time of the year here in North Carolina. But I have to realize that if every month was October in North Carolina, we'd never see things grow. If I'd have to realize that even though I do enjoy seeing snow, and then it's gone. If it snowed 365 days a year, things would not grow. And so in your life, in my life, we have to realize that if all we ever had in life were good times, and all we ever had was sunshiny days of life, you know what would happen? I tell you, what would happen is what we're seeing now. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? I think that in times like this, at least for me, at least for people I'm talking to, I miss being in church. Now, I'm glad we're able to come into your home and be on Facebook and be a help and a blessing to you tonight. But I want to tell you, there is nothing like being in the house of God around God's people. There's nothing like hearing the choir sing in person. There's nothing like hearing our musicians play in person. There's nothing like looking out in the congregation and seeing you here and you sitting in a pew and looking across the pew and see somebody you've not seen all week. But now, because we're in one place as a body of believers, it brings some confidence. It encourages us. And so as we look at that, what has happened, I think, for years is we as Christians have taken the house of God for granted. And we just assume that, man, if I decide I don't want to go to church on Sunday because I want to go to the lake, or I want to go fishing, or I want to go play golf, or I want to go to a football game or a basketball game, it doesn't matter because I'll just make it up next week. Well, guess what? You're not making it up next week. We're not potentially not going to be in this building next week. And so if it doesn't cause you to want to be in church around God's people, there's something wrong in your life. If a neglect or a deficit of the Word of God does not cause you to want the Word of God more, there's a problem in your life. And so a promise about all the experience of life. This, my friend, this season of life should cause us to want to draw closer to God, not drive us from God. And so in every circumstance, we have the promise that God is in control. Every situation is the plan of God somehow in your life. Every situation is for my good. The Bible doesn't say here that every situation is good, but every situation is for my good. And so as we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So in every circumstance, I have to realize that it is the plan of God. Somehow this COVID-19 is the plan of God. Well, how, preacher? I don't know. I'm not as smart as God is. See, our brains are finite. And so here's what will happen. We'll have people that will spend their life trying to figure out why COVID-19 happened, why 9/11 happened, why Pearl Harbor happened. I'll tell you why it happened. Listen to me. Because we are sinful men. Amen. We're sinners. And we're either sinners saved by the grace of God, or we're sinners that have not been saved by the grace of God. But the fact is, all the destruction that you see around us, all of the problems, all of the hatred, all of the crime, all of the addiction, all of the murders, all of the rapes, all of the abortions, everything we're seeing has a source, one source, sin. And so as we look at this, maybe it is that God is causing us in this time to fall less in love with the world because we see how wicked it is, and fall more in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every situation is the plan of God. So every circumstance is, and every conflict is. Every storm in your life is the doing of God. You say, I don't agree with that. Well, let me ask you this. When the disciples were out on that sea and the storms came, do you think that took God by surprise? Absolutely not. He is in control of the storm. He is the one who calms the storm. We often hear, Brother Jimmy, that Jesus spoke and the waves subsided and the sea stilled, and that's true. But do you realize that the very person that calmed the storm is the very person that created the storm? And so when we look at that, if you're in a storm in your life, listen, God allowed it to happen for some reason. Maybe it's to draw you closer to Him. Maybe it's to increase your faith. But every storm is the doing of God, and God has a plan of exit in the storm. I realize that there's temptation. I realize that there are trials, but God makes a way of escape. And I'm afraid that what we're doing is looking in the wrong directions for escape. The government's not going to fix this problem. My friend, Facebook isn't going to fix this problem. Your job isn't going to fix the problem. Healthcare's not going to fix it. Your 401k in the stock market's not going to fix it. You've got your eyes in the wrong place. The only person that's going to fix what's wrong with America is God Almighty. Amen. And so maybe it's time that you and I get our eyes off of everything else that we think is going to fix the problem and realize that God has a plan of exit for this storm if we'll keep our eyes on Him. Every storm is for my good, and we see God's plan after the storm often. We don't know why the storm happened, but then when we look back in hindsight, that when we look back, we see the hand of God. Now, when those disciples came off of that boat, I'm sure they looked back and they were fishermen. They'd been in storms before, and they looked back and said, "We've never been in a storm like this, but hallelujah, we've never had the Savior on the boat." Amen. And so I'm telling you tonight, hallelujah, praise God, you may not have ever been in a storm like this before in your life, but aren't you glad you got the Savior in the boat? So every conflict, every circumstance, but watch this, every conquest. Not only the bad things in life, but also our victories. Notice that we know that all things. So we often focus on the negative, right? We often focus on all the problems of life. But how many times do we neglect the victories that God gives us? Man, we ought to praise God in the victorious times, and we shouldn't focus always on the negative times. We ought to thank God for those times. But if we don't get back to praising God for how good He is, amen, then what will happen is we'll be consumed with all the problems of life and all the trials we go through, and the devil's going to get too much credit, and God's not going to get enough. And so if all things work together, it's not just the bad things, it's the good things. Because let's be honest, in the bad times, we're usually humbled. In the good times, we often exercise pride. Now, I don't hear oftentimes talking to people when we're going through bad circumstances, we pray and we're seeking the face of God. But oftentimes in the victorious times, we're too busy beating ourselves on the chest and patting ourselves on the back to give God glory for it. Listen, whatever victories you have in your life, you have them because of the goodness of God. And so every conquest, we need to learn God's power in victory, because we're going to need God's power in the battle. Amen? Learn God's power in victory, because we're going to need God's power in the battle. So take the good times, examine them, and look at how God has blessed in that time, because you're going to need to trust Him in the storms of life and the trials and the bad times, but to figure out how God is working that for your good. And so there's a promise about all the experiences of life. And then number three, there's a promise about a wonderful plan for believers. Now, let's look. Verse 28, because I hear a lot of people that will claim this verse, but they only claim part of it. Watch. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Okay. Well, you say, well, I love God. Do you? Or do you love what God does for you? See, there's a difference between loving someone and loving what they do for you. So the Bible said, "To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." So in this promise, we see that it's a promise about a wonderful plan for believers. Okay, so we believe that Paul wrote the book of Romans. So if he wrote the book of Romans, we have to look at Paul's life and realize that he's writing about the promise of God. So if we're not careful, we look at Paul's life and we forget that Paul's life was not good according to human measurement. In other words, it wasn't like Paul pastored a big church in downtown Rome, and it wasn't like Paul went on missionary journeys, and everywhere he went, he was embraced by the whole city. It wasn't like when Paul preached revival meetings, there were thousands that would get saved. Oftentimes, when Paul would go into a city, they would throw him in jail. Oftentimes, when Paul would go places, he was persecuted. Oftentimes, when he'd go places, the religious crowd wanted him dead. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was had a thorn in the flesh. And so Paul is writing here, not that his life, his physical life, had no problems. He's writing because he's encouraging us that here's a man that has been through all of this in life, yet he's still praising God. Here's a man who has gone through seasons of life where he has been abased, right? But he's also abounded. And so he's not writing some theory to us. He's not writing some hypothetical to us that he's not experienced. He's writing out of his own experience, and he's saying, and we, right? He didn't say y'all. He didn't say I, he said we. So he's embracing or encompassing all of us that name the name of Christ. Now, if you're listening tonight and you're not a believer and you say, well, how is this working out good for me? Well, maybe it's getting you to the place that you're not putting confidence in this world and you realize there's someone bigger than you and someone bigger than this life, and maybe it'll turn your eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you have two ways of looking at this. You can say, well, why would I want to trust a God that would allow this stuff to happen? Well, I'll give you another way to look at it. Why wouldn't you trust a God that has not sent you to a devil's hell? Because that's what you and I deserve. And so why would you not trust a God that can get you out of the mess? Amen. Why would you not trust a God that one day is going to usher you out of this sin-cursed world to a place of perfection called heaven? I tell you what, you can stay here if you want to, but you don't have to. Listen, the God that we serve and the God that we love has written us a promise and used the pen of Paul to do it. And Paul is writing from his own experience, saying that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who were called according to his purpose. And so tonight I'm thank God that whatever situation I'm going through, it is to draw me closer to God, but it is also to make me more like him. And so we see the scope of the promise that he's making to them that love God, not just to the preachers, not just to Paul, not just to a select few, but to those that name the name of Christ, to those that truly love God. I'm not talking about someone who says they're a Christian, but they're not really, that they've never trusted Christ, that their life has not changed, that they've got some form of religion. That's not what the verse says. It says to them that love God, amen. And if you love God, you love his son. And if you love his son, you'll receive him as your savior. And if you receive him as your savior, you'll want to live for him because God's been good. God's promise are to those who truly love God. And I hear all the time, this is why I love the Lord. Well, how do you prove it? Well, preacher, you're talking about works. I'm claiming Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Well, good. But I'm asking you this, how do you love God? How do you prove it? Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? How do I got to prove it to? Well, let's look at Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, that's where we stop. So we'll say, see, there you go. You don't have to prove you love God. Hold on. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So it's great to claim the grace of God in verses 2, 8, 9, but then we have to see our responsibility once we're saved. God didn't save you to sit around and live like the world. God saved you and me that we're able to go out and show the goodness of God, that others would see our good works and glorify our Father. So the scope of the promise is God's promise are to those who truly love God. You may be tonight looking saying, well, I don't get it. I go to church and I grew up in church. I'm faithful to church and all. I'm not asking you if you go to church. Now, I think you ought to go to church, by the way. But I'm not asking you about your church. I'm asking you, do you truly love God? If you truly love God, I believe you'll go to church. But that's not the barometer, the only measuring stick to whether or not you love God. Do you witness to people? Do you read your Bible? Do you give to the cause of Christ? Do you desire Him? Do you pray? Do you want to be used of Him? Do you want to walk with Him? See, our actions prove our love. Now, I hear people, they'll sit at home, say, well, I can be a Christian, sit at home. Well, you can, but fact is, how are you proving that you love God? By the way, getting on Facebook just saying you love God doesn't prove anything. You can get on there and say you're a millionaire. You got $10 in the bank, say you're a millionaire. Find some pictures on the internet, put up there of you in all these exotic places. That doesn't mean you're a millionaire. So just because you write some verse on your social media, or you say I love God or whatever, doesn't mean you love God. Do you walk with Him? And so that's the scope of the promise. And then I want you to see the source of the promise. For good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So in the Word of God, in verse 28, God's making us a promise. And He's saying this, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So nowhere in there do we see the source of the promise being our feelings. You don't see where God says that you feel this way. Doesn't say we're always going to like every circumstance that we go through. It's not our feelings that determine whether or not we love God or whether or not God is good. So we have to look at the source of the promise. It's not how we feel about it. You say, well, I don't feel like God loves me because I'm going through this trial. Well, then you have to go back to the Word of God and you have to claim the promise of the Word of God whether or not you feel like it. My wife and I have been married 26 years. I've got a wedding band on my left hand that constantly reminds me that I'm married to her, and I don't need necessarily the wedding band. I remember the day, hallelujah, 26 years ago, going on 27. And so I realize tonight that sometimes whether I have this ooey-gooey feeling about my wife loving me, I know that she loves me. I don't have to think about it, Brother Jimmy, all the time riding down the road going, oh, I wonder if I'm married today or not. I don't feel married. I don't think I'm married. I hadn't thought about it all day. No, the fact is, on January 1st, we got married, and we made a commitment, a covenant, and I was there that day, and because of that day, she and I are married and will be eternally married until Jesus comes back. I'm glad, hallelujah, that the source of the promise was not how I feel. It's that day that we made that commitment. And my friend, now whether or not you're saved today, doesn't matter how you feel or what you think. Were you there the day that Jesus passed by your way? Hey, that day should be etched in your mind that that's the day I trusted Christ as my Savior. And if I've trusted Him as my Savior, I know that the Word of God is true, and I know that this promise is for me. And it doesn't matter how I feel in the storm. I may not feel secure. I may not feel safe. And so I got to go back to the Word of God and say, God said it. He must deliver it. And so it's not my feeling. It's not my intellect. It is a promise that is based on the Word of God. And so tonight as we look at this scripture, it's a promise for all seasons of life. It's a promise in the good times. It's a promise in the difficult times. It is a promise that God is who He says He is. Now the question is, are you going to be who you say you are? What do you mean? Are you following Him only in the good seasons of life? Are you praising Him only in the good seasons of life? Or are you taking this promise and saying, no matter what the season of life is, I know that this is for my good? Well, if you'll do that, and I'll do that tonight, then we'll realize that even in tragedy, even in trials, God is working on us. And it's a promise for all seasons. So wherever you are, if you're here listening in tonight by way of Facebook or on the phone, if you've never trusted him as your Savior, that's the promise you need to claim. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise you need to claim tonight. If tonight you're a born-again Christian and you're going through trials and you're saying, I don't understand it, God, explain it to me. Quit trying to ask God to explain everything to you. Just trust him. He's bigger than you are. His mind is bigger than yours. His plan is greater than your plan. Why don't you just get on board with him and say, God, whatever it is, I'm going to trust you because you're good. All things work together for good. He's good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the message tonight. Thank you for your presence and power in our life. And Lord, I pray that the message has been a help to your people. I pray for those that may be watching, listening in, that have never trusted you as Savior. If they come to know you as personal Savior, they'd call on you even now. Bow their head and ask Jesus Christ to be their personal Savior. Thank you for your word and the truth of it, the promise of it. And pray God's souls would be saved, lives would be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A couple quick things and we will be dismissed tonight. Thank you for tuning in on this Wednesday night service. Be back with us at 10:30 on Sunday morning, 5 o'clock on Sunday night. And we're praying. Listen, let me encourage you to pray for our leaders, pray for our nation tonight as we think about this in the coming weeks. Our president's going to have a major decision to make about opening up the country. And I promise you this, either way he goes, he's not going to make people happy. So we need to pray God give him wisdom. We need to pray for pastors, because I tell you what's going to happen, and what is happening is the more that we're doing this online, the happier the devil is. And the happier the devil is, his crowd is doing. Listen, I'm here of churches in different parts of the country that are being harassed for having services in their parking lot, that they're having drive-in service, they're social distancing. Police officers have written them tickets. Mayors have told them they can't do that, but you don't see it at Lowe's. I went by there just the other morning. The parking lot was full. Wasn't 20 cars in there. There's hundreds of cars in there. Go by Walmart. Go by the liquor store, hallelujah, and it's full. So if we're not careful, what's going to happen is they're going to continue to tell us, you know what, continue to have it. And as long as this thing shut down, it's going to come a time, pastors, we're going to have to make a decision what we're going to do. So you be praying for your pastor, praying for our leadership, and praying that God would send revival to America. That can be what we do. Listen, I don't know how long this is going to last. I hope it lasts about one more week and we get back to church. But you need to be praying. We need to pray for our country. And so I appreciate you tuning in tonight. Tune in on Sunday morning at 10:30, and we appreciate it. Good night.